As I said earlier, it is wonderful to be back with all of you after our trip to Germany, the 19 of us who represented Bethel on a trip to celebrate and remember the gift of the Reformation. 500 years since Martin Luther, and the 95 Theses, our window right over here, the 95 Theses of Luther, posting those on the door at Wittenberg. It was a great trip, and one of the things that was wonderful about that is that we prayed for you, and we remembered you as part of our trip. Our little group of 19 really formed a beautiful community on that trip. And I thought about that as I was preparing for today's sermon, because our lessons today are about community. They're about how we build community as the people of God and how we can live into that with each other. And on our trip, there was a beautiful way we formed community. We formed community around laughter and joy. Through the sharing of meals that we had together regularly, one of the fun things was trying to find a restaurant that could keep us, about 19 of us, and we often did. We were able to find that pretty regularly, but we would laugh and joke and be on the bus and tell stories. It was a wonderful gift, and we were able to find community through our laughter and through the fun that we had, and it was really beautiful. But we also found community in some of the hardships that we faced. Some of our folks on the trip had gone through surgeries recently, and so they weren't able to walk as quick as perhaps they wanted to. Other people on the trip had some illnesses and some struggles, and there were times that we really needed to care for each other. Along with that, there were moments, especially when we were in Flossenbürg, which is one of the concentration camps that we visited, and the different Jewish memorials that we visited, there were times where tears were being shed as people were overwhelmed by the gravity of these places of standing where other human beings had been treated so tragically and harshly. It was overwhelming. So there were hugs that were shared. It reminded of the song we just sang, "Blessed be the time that binds." Sometimes in empathy we share a sympathizing tear with one another, and there were moments where people were hurting or they were just overcome by the gravity of the experience that we were caring for one another. So we found community amidst our joys and also amidst our sorrows. Yet the place that we found, I believe, the truest community on our trip was not at Hofbräuhaus, although that was a great gift too. Hofbräuhaus was fantastic, watching the dancing and all like that. No, the place we found truest community, I believe, was at the St. Peter and St. Paul Church in Eisleben, Germany. Eisleben is where Martin Luther was, where he was born, and was where he died. And the St. Peter and St. Paul Church is where he was baptized the day after he was born in 1483. And it's interesting, the actual baptismal font that was used at the time of Martin Luther, it was found several years ago in a church closet. Maybe we need to check out our closet, see what we might find. But they took that baptismal font and they built a brand new one around it. But what was so interesting about this St. Peter and St. Paul Church is that it's called the Center of Baptism. And as you walk into the church, you see not only that baptismal font, but then there was this baptismal pool. It looked like a hot tub built in the middle of the church. My kind of church, actually. But it was an actual place to baptize, and around the ring of it, it said, "Go therefore and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." That's what it was written there in German. But then around that baptismal pool, around the pool, there were circles that were to indicate the waves going out into the world. That the baptism, the call of baptism, leads us into the world to be purveyors of hope and grace and love and peace. And at that place, our group of 19 all gathered around that space, and we dipped our hands in the water, and we made the sign of the cross on each other's forehead, saying, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. And in that moment, when we were finding that community, our 19 souls finding community in that place in Eisleben, Germany, that's where we were not only fully community together, but that's where we found community with you in your baptism. That's where we found community, not only with ourselves and with you, but where we find community right now with our brothers and sisters who are in the Caribbean, who are suffering the ravages of Hurricane Irma. That's where we find community with our brothers and sisters who are in Houston, who are trying to build their life again after the ravages of Hurricane Harvey. That's where we find community with our brothers and sisters in California who are being threatened by wildfires or from those who have been affected by earthquake. Yes, brothers and sisters, we find our truest community with each other in those waters of baptism. You know, while we were in Germany, we saw a bunch of churches. Bunch of them. They were beautiful. They were gorgeous. I mean, there were some with statues that were just amazing artwork. You saw some that had these triptych altars that had three different paintings that were just unbelievable, and scenes of Bible stories and other events in Christian history. There were stained glass windows that were gorgeous. You'd walk into these cathedrals and they were huge and they were impressive, and on Sundays they are empty. They are museums. There were people there from all different countries walking in, taking pictures just like we were, amazed at how beautiful these amazing edifices to God. And on Sunday mornings, there's nobody there. I was in Iceland, which is a Lutheran country, actually. The first Sunday we were gone, and we were at the home, the Hallgrímskirkja, which is the Hallgrims Church. There's a statue of Leif Erikson outside, actually. It's impressive, this church. And you walk in, and you go to the top, and you see all of Iceland, and it was beautiful. And you can see all of Reykjavik, and it's this immaculate, beautiful church. There's an organ playing. And it just so happened that we were there right when service was getting ready to start. I actually got to talk to the pastor. I asked him if it was in English. Because, you know, that's what Americans do. We expect everybody to do everything in English for us. That's what I did. And he goes, no, it's not. It's actually going to be in Icelandic, which is what our people are. And I thought, well, that makes sense. But anyway, I was talking to him, and Heidi and I were deciding whether we were going to stay for church. I mean, you know you're a pastor when you're actually considering staying for church service that's going to be over an hour, and you aren't going to understand any of the words. You know you're a pastor then. But it was sad because everybody had to leave that wasn't going to go to church. So we were like one of the last people there before we were leaving. And in this huge church, there was like 12 people. And I remember thinking, what a shame. We thought about staying just to up their worship attendance average, because, I mean, that had been pretty big, 1/6. But think about it. And so as we walked around these beautiful churches and saw how awesome they were and the witness they made to God, and saw how sad we are that nobody goes to church or so few go to church, I started being afraid for us. You know, one day, 150 years from now, are people going to walk into Winchester, hey, come see Bethel Church, and they're going to look at our impressive stained glass windows, and they're going to be like, wow, that's great, and nobody will be here. I did find some hope, though. Hope in that church I was telling you about first. St. Peter and St. Paul in Eisleben. Now, of all the churches that we saw, it was probably the most plain. It was clean. It looked really nice. But it didn't have the huge statues, and it didn't have all the beautiful paintings, and it wasn't the biggest, longest place at all. But you know what it had at the very heart was this reminder of baptism. And this church, in the smallest town we visited, is an active, vibrant, growing community of faith. And I think that probably the reason is because what's at the heart of who they are is their understanding that they are the baptized children of God called to live into the world. Their identity is centered in that which God has first done for them, called them, named them, and claimed them as God's own. And that feeds their call to live into the world. That, my friends, is the hope for us and for the American church. Is that we become so identified with the promise of God's gift in baptism that we can't help but share that message into our world, to be the people who show up in places like Houston and Florida and the Caribbean and wherever else there is brokenness and need in our own community, in our own homes, in our own schools, that the baptismal identity that we all share, that you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. That unity that we have amidst all the diversity that we share. And we are a diverse people. That amidst our diversity, we can indeed find community as we remember our identity. An identity formed from the waters of baptism. An identity given to all of us freely, regardless of station or status in life, regardless of bank account or sins of the past, regardless of who we have been or who we may become, regardless of anything except Jesus' love freely given. May that unity that we share lead us forth to be the people that God would have us be. In Jesus' name, amen.